So let us go to the next one, because Bhagavan says, I don't believe that you are born again and you die again. No, because you are the Atman, the consciousness. What appears is this individuality. He says, okay, but if you say that you are born again and you are dying again, you are saying that, I am not saying. He says, yes, Bhagavan, I am saying. Okay, let's address that. Because all of us feel, Atman, I don't know. But I know that people are born and people are dying. Constantly I see it. Okay, if that's what you believe, so let's address that. So verse number 26 and 27, we'll chant together and then cover it one time. Atha chainam nitya jatam.
Atha chainam nitya jatam.
Nityam vamanyase mritam.
Nityam vamanyase mritam.
Tathapi tvam mahabaho.
Tathapi tvam mahabaho.
Naivam shochitum arhasi.
Naivam shochitum arhasi.
Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu.
Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu.
Dhruvam janma mritasya cha.
Dhruvam janma mritasya cha.
Tasmad aparihāryerthe.
Tasmad aparihāryerthe.
Natvam shochitum arhasi.
Natvam shochitum arhasi.
So again he's saying, Natvam shochitum arhasi. Do not mourn, do not grieve. Why? Atha chainam. Okay, if you think, Atha, now, if you are thinking, cha enam, this Atma is Nitya Jatam, is always born, repeatedly born. And Nityam va manyase mritam. And you, manyase, you think that this Atma is always born and always dies. So somebody is born and dies. So Atma is born and Atma dies. The consciousness is born, consciousness dies. You are saying that? He says, yes. He says, even then, tathapi tvam mahabaho. Mahabaho, he addresses him as, you are a great warrior, mahabaho. And look how you are acting. You are acting like a child. You are crying at the sitting in the bottom of the chariot. And you said, my hands are shaking and my mouth is dry and I can't speak. And your tears are running down your eyes. You are a great warrior. You are here to do the duty because your country is in danger and you are sitting and crying like that. He says, you call yourself a great warrior, then na evam shochitum arhasi. Then also, you should not mourn. Even if you say everything is born, lives for a while and everything dies, why you should mourn? Why? Because he says, jatasya hi dhruvo mrityuhu. Dhruva means certain. Jatasya mrityu dhruva. So what is born is bound to perish. Right? You are saying everything is born and perish. I'm saying the same thing. If you say something is born, its death is certain. Only thing that is deathless is something that is birthless. So as Atma or consciousness or the Lord is birthless, then only is deathless. Anything if you say is born, it is bound to perish. Whether it's a human being, whether it's a building, whether it's a car, nothing lasts forever. Jatasya hi dhruvo mrityu. And then dhruvam janma mritasya cha. And one who perishes will be born again. That's our belief. That whoever dies is not our first life, but it is a repeated cycle of birth and death. And if that is what you believe, okay, everybody is dying, then whoever dies will be born again. That is the cycle of human creation. Tasma, therefore, aparihārye arthe. That's why what is inevitable, knowing that, natvam shochitum arhasi, then what is there to mourn? If something is born, it is bound to perish. And if it is perished, it's not going to be dead forever. It is born again. And I think we had talked in detail about who goes, but maybe in 1 or 2 minutes I can address. So the body perishes. The body is either cremated or buried or whatever is done to it. It's the mind and intellect, the subtle body, and then the other aspect is Atma or consciousness. So nothing happens to Atma, which is eternal. The body perishes, it's the mind and intellect. propelled by the vasanas, this individuality is called jiva or jivatma, the jiva, and that takes another birth. So at the time of death, this subtle body goes into higher worlds, either heaven or hell, and after having stayed for a while, enjoyed its good actions or suffered in hell, it takes another body based on my karmas, what I have done in my past life, and based on my desires. So what is born is meant to die, and once it dies, the subtle body will take another birth after a certain amount of time, certain number of years. And that again depends on my actions, depends on my vasanas, and depending on the availability of a suitable body. Once the soul knows that its karmas have ended in heaven or hell, then it takes another body and it enters the mother's womb and starts its journey again. The only time the journey ends, you are not born again, when you realize. So a self-realized master like Swami Chinmayananda or Buddha or Jesus will not be born again, because they have become one with that. So what he's saying is everything appears and disappears, like that swallow example I told you. Just as a swallow was unmanifest, appeared for a while and disappeared, so all of us appear and disappear. If that's what you believe, okay, I am this jiva, I am this individuality, or I am this body. And so the body appeared for a while, you know, it was a baby, and then slowly became a youth, and then older, and then perished. Okay, if that's what you believe, then the question is, from where? From where did this individual come? So the atheists say, we don't know. Just appeared from somewhere, came in the mother's womb, and is gone. And where it goes, we don't know. So all we know is this life. You know, Charvaka's philosophy. You are here to enjoy life. Khao, piyo, maja karo. Eat and drink and be merry. Who worries about Gita and God and karmas and all? Nothing. That's nonsense. These just rishis have made us so we behave. Do whatever you want. Enjoy whatever indulgences you want to do, good or bad. Have fun. Why you want to sit down and read and waste your time? And they say, oh, be good and take care of your fellow beings. You are only here to take care of yourself. As long as I am happy, let the world do whatever it wants. Who cares? So that is the theory of the Charvaka, the atheist. But the ones who believe in God, they say, no. It's not like that. God, there is a God who is unmanifest, who created us. And so we appeared on this earth, and then when time goes, we'll go back to God. So they still believe that there is an individual, a jiva. At the highest level, there is only one. But if you are believing in the fact that, yes, I had a creator who is God, and I'm functioning in the world, and then I will go back to that Lord, then you function as an instrument of God, as an agent of God. I just met Swami Tejomayananda ji in Bombay, and he gave a very beautiful teaching. He says, inside your heart, you know I am that Satchidanand Swarup. I am that immortal consciousness. But in my actions, I am a servant of God. At my body, mind, and intellect level, I am serving God. So you serve God as long as you are in this world body. But inside, you know that my true nature is God. That is called the seed of God. God's seed is in me. So at my highest nature, I am that. But as long as I am in this body, mind, and intellect, and I have a name, whether it's Kusum or Anil or Satish, then I function as that. I function as Kusum or Anil or Satish. I'm here to serve the world. I'm here to do God's work. I'm God's humble servant. So with that attitude, and at the time of death, ultimately I'll go and become one with that. But that should not only be, just only don't limit it to that. Ultimately understand I am that consciousness. From a servant, that's then the next step is God and I are one. I am not separate from. So that is the understanding. That's what the theists believe. And as we said, what is the purpose of life? To serve the world. And then they give certain examples, like say you buy a $5 toy, and you know, as you know, everything is made in China. So it's a $5 toy that you make in China, and the father brings it and gives it to the child, and then the child winds it and it moves. Nowadays, of course, they don't wind, it's all battery I'm talking about when I grew up, but anyway. So he plays, or he pushes the car and he pushes the truck and he hits the wall and the car breaks and stops working. He starts crying. But the father says, you know, it's a $5 toy. What did you expect? You expect it to last forever? You played with it a few weeks. It's enough. So the wise father knows that this toy is created and will destroy like a balloon. You know, the child blows up the balloon and it's her birthday and everything is good. And then the brother comes and he's teasing her. He pokes a needle and the balloon pops and the baby starts crying. Oh, my balloon popped. But the mother knows the balloon, it is only temporary. So same way, the wise people know that everything is temporary. But you and I are like that child. Oh, why did my body is getting old? Why am I? And suppose somebody tells us you only have, you know, so much to live, then totally destroyed. Or if somebody close to us, you know, gets this kind of message. But a wise person knows that whatever is born will perish. Just as a wise mother knows that the balloon is not going to last forever, the car is not going to last forever. Or like a clay pot. Clay is there, and from clay you make a pot, or say you make a very beautiful decorative piece that I got from China or I got from Thailand, and then accidentally, you know, the child knocks it over and falls and breaks, and we get so mad, you know, with the child, we want to slap. No, the fact that it is a clay or made out of mud, it's not going to live forever. Well, did you expect it? If you didn't, the child didn't knock it, you might knock it while cleaning. So accept that whatever is created, the clay is eternal. The clay does not perish, but the clay pot perishes. So the wise people know this. And that's why these verses are chanted after death. You know, whenever when somebody passes away, the second chapter is chanted to explain to the individual that yes, people are born and people die. It is unfortunate, but you have to understand that death is inevitable. There is nobody who will not perish. So you accept that. Somebody is, and say, how about somebody who was young? You know, why he perished? And it's so sad. Yes, it is sad, but for that individual, that life was all that was destined. Not destined by the Lord, but by my own vasanas, by my own karmas. Once my karmas for which I was born to undergo, they end, I give up this body. So I may be only 6 hours or 6 days or 6 years or 60 years or 100 years. The individual only lives for the amount of time where his or her karmas end and his or her vasanas are exhausted. He says, okay, goodbye, I'm leaving. So that one has to understand. So just somebody died young does not mean that there is some God sitting up there who wants to take this person young. No, this person himself decides. Himself does not mean I decide that I want to die, but my karmas decide. So does that mean one should go on killing if it is everybody's bound to perish? Then what's wrong with killing? No, as we said, as long as you are in this human body, you are bound by the laws of karma. So yes, good karmas will give you good result. Bad karmas will give you bad result. But what these Mahatmas say, don't focus too much on karmas. Focus on the reality. Realize that in this world, everything is happening. But think of this world like a play or like a movie. It's a natak going on. It's a play going on. And I'm playing my part. And if you have done, like, and there are two actors, one has, you know, studied very hard and done a good job, she gets a good part, you know, heroine. Another one hasn't done, you know, prepared that well. Okay, then you get a job of a extra or a side actor. So similarly, the kind of job I have got is because of my actions, because of my karmas. And whether I have a job of a heroine or I have a job of a side actress, My job is to perform my duties well and do my best so that people say, wow, that was a great performance. So similarly, you and I, we are living in this world, do the best you can, whatever job you have been assigned, but never forget that you are that Satchidanand Brahma, that infinite reality, playing this part. And as we said, if it is death is inevitable, then do what you can while you are alive. Whatever time you have, do the best. If I am a doctor, I should be the best doctor. If I am a mother, I should be the best mother. If I am a teacher or I am an engineer or whatever my job is, I should do the best I can and then leave the rest to God. I did my best. I did my best to make this world a better place. And when it's time to go, I leave. Because if I've done a good job, then what is there to worry about? People, you should worry if you have done a lot of bad things. I don't know what will happen. You know, in hell, they will punish me. They will hit me with whips and they will put me in fire and hot water. I have done been a good person. So there's nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. And there is no grief. There is nothing to grieve. Again and again, he says, Natvam shochitum arhasi. You should not grieve. There is no reason to grieve. Why? Because there is only one Atma. There is only one consciousness. It's not that if there are 1,000 people dying, there are 1,000 Atmas. No, there is one Atma, one consciousness in all of us. The body perishes. The mind and intellect goes and takes a new body. But that one consciousness that is in every one of us, it is indestructible. Last few weeks, we have been talking about adahyoyam, akledyoyam. It cannot be burnt, it cannot be cut, it cannot be destroyed. So that is how this Gita has to be studied. So there are two kinds of individuals. One is rational and one is very emotional. So somebody who is rational, like Arjuna was rational, so the Bhagavan talks to him in a rational manner, but somebody is very emotional and is crying and is very sad. You don't directly talk to them in this language. You say, oh, you know, look, he says, her mother has died. Nobody dies. You know, everybody lives forever. You can't tell them that when they are so sad and crying, then you sit and cry with that person. Cry means you start sympathizing. I'm so sorry. It's so sad it happened. Obviously, you can't walk around, you know, with a Gita and advising people. At that moment of grief, you sit and console that person and you offer sympathy. If I can help you in any way, if I can bring food or I can, you know, you sit and share that person's sorrow. But as they come out of that sorrow and become more rational and want to know why did it happen? Why did my mother have to die? Or why did my young brother or sister perish? Then if when they are in a rational state of mind, as their understanding improves, you can console them. So what this tells us is that how to handle death. And how to handle others' death, but more important, my own death. Ultimately, this knowledge is for me. So when I am getting old or I am getting weak or or I get an illness which cannot be cured, then I should know that I will never perish. So suppose tomorrow somebody tells us, a doctor says, you only have 6 months to live, you have cancer all over your body. Okay, that's fine. That was the time for this body. I have 6 months to live. Let me enjoy life. Let me do the best I can. Let me make the world a better place. And when it's time to go, I cheerfully go. So that is the essence. That's why Bhagavan says, keep smiling. That's the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. Keep smiling. There is no need to grieve. There is no need to be sorrowful. But be happy and make the world a happy place. That is the essence of these three verses. We have a couple of minutes, a few minutes. Any comments, any more discussion? Because inevitable, Swami Chinmayananda says, for example, if it's heat, like you're living in Bakersfield, it is bound to be 110 in the summer. What is to complain? When you move to Bakersfield, you knew that. Or somebody living on the East Coast says, you know, why are there so many tornadoes and storms? Last year, there were 3 tornadoes, right? Yes. So next year, there will be 4 with global warming. So you should be ready. And if your house gets destroyed, you choose to live there. Either you move or you know. So what is inevitable, there is nothing to mourn about. People in the north complain about the weather. Oh, it's minus 10. And in Chicago with the wind chill factor, it's minus 40. Okay, you chose to live on the lake, you will get. So what is inevitable, there is no need to complain. That is bound to happen. So you go through whatever is, and then if it's cold, you put on warm weather. If it's hot, you put on the air conditioning. But there is no need to complain about heat or cold or tornadoes or earthquake. Tomorrow there's a big earthquake in Bakersfield and half of Bakersfield is destroyed. And people say, oh, my house got... You chose to live in an earthquake zone. You knew when you moved here that sooner or later there will be a 7.5 earthquake. So once you choose that, then it is inevitable. Sooner or that's what the experts are telling us. In the next 10 to 15 years, there will be a major earthquake in Southern California and wholesale destruction. Thousands of people will die. Thousands of homes will be destroyed. So it's destroyed. You get, take a loan and rebuild your house. There is no need to sit and cry. Anushochan, though, at least don't keep on crying. Yeah, for a while you're sad, okay, my home fell, but it's, you know, you chose to live in an earthquake zone. So similarly, you choose to take birth. Once you chose to take birth, you should be ready to die. Whatever is inevitable, there is no need to complain. Nobody forced you to come on this earth. You came. They said, no, Bhagwan sent me. He didn't send anybody. You and I took birth because of our vasanas, because we had unexhausted vasanas, because of which we chose to take birth, and the parents we choose based on our desires and our karma. So if you choose to take birth, there is no reason to complain. Because in the body, there will be six vikaras. Remember, we said it is born, it grows, it changes, it decays, gets sick, and perishes. So that's the nature of every human being. So there is no need to complain, my arthritis is hurting me. That's normal. When you get old, you will have arthritis. So take Advil and don't complain. That's the message of the Bhagavad Gita. Any more comments? We have a couple of minutes. Yes.
I just wanted to say on the consciousness part, the consciousness is the same in everyone, including like myself or Charles mentioned. That was not right. The difference for the mind and intellect.
Yes.
Which is lighting the, or giving the energy to mind and intellect is where the difference is.
Yes.
And of course, it's going to improve your wisdom.
True. Absolutely true. So the consciousness is the same. But the mind and intellect in each individual is different. The body is also the same. We all pretty much have the same body. Yeah, there is some difference external, maybe skin color or hair or the sex and all. But the essential body is the same. We all have the same heart, lungs, kidneys, brain, everything. What difference is, as she said, is the mind, the emotions and the ideas, the intellect. And that is what changes as we understanding grows. But the consciousness remains the same. Yes, thank you.
We all have human bodies. Mentally, we could be stone, we could be tree, we could be animal, we could be human, or we could be divine.
Right.
So, you know, some people at stone level, they don't think they just sit and do nothing, becoming a weight on the community. The second person is, you know, it's a tree. He gives, but it's in one place, doesn't do much except giving shade, or it, you know, grows and gives. The animal is usually looking after his own self-interest, his children, his family, his things. That is the animal nature. And then you become human when you start learning to give to each other, make a society, community, when you live together. Then there's a divine who sees everything one.
Yes.
So we have a different gradation of people. So the consciousness is same, but the development is a different level. So that's why one killer is a different level versus a nourisher is a different level.
Yes, thank you. That's a very good point. Okay. Thank you. We'll end. See you next week. So we'll continue this topic of birth and death. And then Bhagavan will come to the duty. What is our duty and how we should work in the world. So slowly he's coming from the highest to birth and death, and then how I should love. What is dharma? What is my duty? So these are the stepwise, but always he keeps reminding you, you are that consciousness. You are not Arjuna. You are that consciousness playing the part of Arjuna. And that's what constantly throughout the Gita, that is the message. Thank you very much. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha Sarve Santu Niramaya. sarve bhadrani pasyantu ma kaschid dukkha bhag bhavet. Om shanti shanti shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.